Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
We're here. We're just going to jump right into it because a certain host is absolutely lagged.
All right. So quick housekeeping. This was going to be a side quest episode, but due to just kind of personal stuff with us and scheduling, we had to make this one of the main episodes. So again, we did promise that the Uchiha character study would start this week, but that's going to be delayed slightly 2 weeks. So this week is going to be the Andor season finale, series finale, unfortunately. And then next week is going to be The Last of Us season 2 finale. So let's get into it with that legal spiegel.
The purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. Also, since we reference owned by the respective companies, our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own and reflect no biases and corporate agendas. Your discretion is advised, and I'm Demetrius.
And I'm Demetrius.
Demetrius presents the Blurred City Podcast.
We're so backwards.
Yep, just.
What are those days?
We're keeping it in.
All right, so with that, we're going to get to the pulse of the people. So this is just how people are generally feeling about the show, and the talk and conversation surrounding it. Now that the series has ended, Meech, what have you been hearing so far about how people have felt about the series overall?
Folks loved it. They definitely wished it could have gone an extra season, but hey, you understand, like, it leaves right into Rogue One, which is basically season 3. Or you should say it's the original season 1, and this is just like seasons -1 and -2, but that's neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I've been hearing, one of the quotes that Luthen said, I believe in 10, is that we're all out of perfection. I mean, man, that was... We'll get to why we love the season, clearly, but a lot of just high praise for it, a lot of tears shed, especially over episode 10 and then all the previous episodes that we've discussed as well. But something that I think will definitely hold a, from what I've been hearing, will hold a special place in a lot of people's hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So with that, we are going to get into a brief recap of episode 10, 11, and 12 for the season finale of Andor, coming at you in 3, 2, 1.
All right, so episode 10 is actually a very interesting episode because there's no Andor in it at all. This one's all focused on Luthen and Clea. So it basically opens up with Luthen, you know, about to go and meet Lonnie out here on good old Coruscant. Clea's like, hey, we've been on here too long, and, you know, like it's a year jump, so we're in 1 BBY, so it's 1 year before everything goes right into chaos. And yeah, he meets Lonnie, who basically spills the beans, just how, like, oh yeah, the energy plan, that was a whole lie, it's a cover for creating a super weapon, Gorman was used to mine the material and all that good jazz. But of course, like, he wants Of course, Lonnie wants a patch siege for him and his family, you know, just to deliver the information. But Luthen being Luthen, you already knew what was up. Hashtag no loose ends. So Lonnie, unfortunately, gets a good old blaster hole right through the chest, right open through the chesticles. And then, of course, right after that, essentially, Luthen leaves to go back to his home base while he's destroying evidence. You know, he destroys the control panel, and with that, right before Luthen basically like relays the information to Clea, making sure she remembers it all, like, hey, remember the code words, Urso Kyber, and dang, I forgot, was it
Death Star? Death Star.
It was Death Star. So while that's happening, Luthen gets a knock at the door at the, or gets a ring at the art gallery. Turns out it's none other than Deidre, who's going there like under the guise of like, oh yeah, I'm here to like look at your stuff. I have like a particular item of value here. She seems to be very serene, and she has like an item in order to do it, and she pulls out the very Imperial equipment that he was trying to, you know, get. She's trying to get like in season one. It's like, yeah, I know your axes, and we can go ahead and take you in right now. I finally secured my dream. And and Luthen was having none of that because he decides to take a knife and gut himself.
It's really interesting, just like the scene in this interaction, because even before that, Clea was like, yo, I can finish this before you. I'm going to be quicker. And Luthen, you know, being himself, and we actually see throughout this episode, which we'll cover right after this part, where with the flashbacks and their actual relationship, but Luthen's like, no, I'm gonna take care of it. And then it's so funny how the facade dropped the moment she pulled out the relic that's basically started all of this in season one. So that was a really cool interaction. And something else is that Deidre was operating on the other guy when he was off. So it wasn't her beat anymore. So she was, again, superseding protocol, something that Darth Vader told to Krennic, right? Where he said, don't choke on your own ambition. Whereas it's like, hey, and even Partagas, the entire season and a half up to these two seasons, was telling Deidre, you just need to chill out. You need to like control your ambition. You're too emotional. You want too much credit. You're trying to get too far ahead too soon. So like that leading up and her immediately being in trouble, but Luthen, as you mentioned, no loose ends, trying to immediately take himself out, which was crazy.
Yep. And of course, like Deidre, she's seeing the evidence getting taken out, she's seeing Luthen about to be dead, she calling paramedics, she calling everybody to like go and you know, try to re-get whatever she can. Then it cuts like flashback to basically to when Luthen meets Clea, how like he was basically a soldier out here doing a whole massacre, and she was a stowaway on the ship. And then he's like, he sees something in her, so like he decides to take care of her, you know, keeps her hidden, feeds her, and eventually like he goes like with her like on a different planet they're scavenging, like he's collecting art and like selling art and whatnot. She's like very good at being like a very stoic person at that young age. I mean, hey, witnessing a massacre will do that to you, but also witnessing another massacre like right afterwards will do that to someone crazy, because she watches as like a bunch of kids get taken in by some Imperials, line up, firing squad.
I was just going to say that we see also that Luthen, this hardened individual that we've seen like over the past two seasons, he, as the sergeant, was like traumatized. We could see that he couldn't do it in whatever language that was. He was saying Roshnalutz, which was the name of the episode, Make It Stop. So he was repeatedly saying, make it stop, make it stop. And like even his soldiers in command and like that were looking up to him were like, hey, you good? We got to get back out there. And how he played that off so smoothly, but seeing how it affected him, because we never see like Luthen get really affected like that unless like his plans are threatened. But even then, that's not him being broken. That's just him being, you know, alert and paranoid, which ties into kind of like how he's treated in episodes 11 and 12. So that was definitely an interesting interaction. And throughout the course of the flashbacks, we also see Clea infiltrating the hospital where Luthien's unconscious body is being held.
Ooh, and this is probably the big one because, and also in the flashback, he tells her, like, hey, basically about sacrifice and playing galactic chess, you know, like, hey, a rebellion, like, we gotta, like, wait, we gotta bide our time, we gotta do stuff covertly, we can't be out here going A1 out here. But also, yeah, and you see that, like, as she's sneaking her way through the hospital, like, she's taking clothes of a nurse, pretending to be a nurse, taking a whole patient up to that faded floor, like setting off bombs in one part of the wing in order, yes, because they lock down, or Dedra locks down the entire wing,
mm-hmm,
where Luthien is, and then she gets basically taken by old boy who's running the operation. Who's running the operation, because she basically did everything again, like on his off day. Like, it's like, bro, you did this on my day off? Crazy. But yeah, so essentially, like, she goes in, she substitutes, like, she kills a bunch of people, and then she makes it to Luthien's body, where she unplugs him and lets him die as she kisses him on the forehead and then leaves.
That scene was tough, how they interlaid it with the flashback memories, because I would say until she got to the very top floor, I was like, okay, she's going to save Luthien. And then I had to think about it. And I was like, Luthien, like you mentioned earlier, is all about cutting loose ends. Like, if you are like a loose ends to the rebels, you got to go. And then also just kind of like saying, like, how he said to Clea, you got to harden your heart. So you got to know what you're sacrificing. And like, winning means constantly losing. So once she got to the top floor, it hit me, as much as I love, because we were even saying we know Luthien is going to die before Andor ends, but we were going like, oh, major sacrifice, you know, gives himself up in an explosion or something like that. But the way he went out, I think, is almost perfect for his character, where it's just like, hey, he knew he was going to die in this rebellion. He wasn't going to see the light of day after that amazing monologue in season one. And he gave himself up, like, because he was a loose end and could not afford to be a captive of the Empire,
yep,
which is crazy and a perfect send off for Luthien. But man, it was just quiet. It was hard seeing his still body like that, though.
Oh, yeah. And it was hard for her, too. And that's literally how episode 10 ends. And cuts right to episode 11, where she's able to escape the hospital, and she's back at the old safe house where she's breaking up a cement wall to get a radio in order to transmit an SOS straight to Will. To Will, who then rushes over to find Cassian, K2SO, and the third guy, like, just playing cards or dominoes. I actually, it was probably more close to dominoes.
Meshy. So I remember asking you when we did the last review, like, who that guy was. So apparently he was on the island of Cass at the end of season one, and Cass gave him a blaster that he had in the eye arc.
That one. Okay.
So that's how he carried away. I just couldn't remember at the time. So I don't remember if he's in Rogue One or not, but I'm going to talk about, like, wanting to watch Rogue One after this. So continue.
Well, yeah. So of course, like, he tells them all about the, hey, we need to go get Clea. And then, like, Cassian's like, hey, my boys, let's roll out. Let's defy rebellion orders. Let's just go steal this ship and go get Clea and on an unsanctioned mission, which I know will probably get us in the brig. But while that's happening, we cut to Dedra. Dedra is out here in prison. Well, she's being interrogated hard by Krennic, who made it like, hey, listen, your boy Lonnie, he had access to your files. Where did you get them from?
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Pretty. Like, how in the world is like, and she's like, yeah, I just got him by mistake and I just opened it out of curiosity. They're like, yeah, nah, see, you caused all this. There is a leak in the mole because of you. Now the rebels potentially have the Death Star because of you.
Yo, and just because this is an audio podcast, so we're pointing, well, tapping our heads because that's what Krennic did. Like, it's like how he was talking. He's like, yo, I'm talking to an idiot right now, which is so funny how he just walked in. He was like, why do you think I'm here, Dedra? Like, there's only one reason I'm here. Say the name. And then she was like, yo, Death Star. It's like, yes, because you messed up big time. And that's going to cost all of us. So, yo, Krennic, the actor for this, he was so menacing in season two. Like, I think it's interesting because obviously we see him in Rogue One, and obviously you're rooting for the heroes, you know, even though Rogue One is like Andor level where it's kind of like base, but there's still like high level action and things like that. It's still like, you know, Star Wars movie. With Andor, it's because he's like high ranking and like everyone he's interacting with is so much lower. So it's like that level of menace is always present with Krennic. So how he was talking to Dedra was wild.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And now, now he's like, hey, now I need to go get a team together, you know, go find Luthen's assistant, Kleya, like, because, you know, they were able to like get her picture from like the security photos.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, Dedra, you going to jail. So yeah, and while that's happening, that other officer, like, he came to like her cells, like, hey, how do we locate Kleya? Like, I need your advice. And she ain't with it, but, you know, she eventually gives in. And then, of course,
Supervisor Hirt or Hart, something like that.
Or something like that. He ain't gonna matter very soon.
Yes. But we also have to talk about the interaction between Partagas and Krennic right at the end.
Ooh, yeah.
Where it was really interesting with that, after they send Hurt on his miss, and he's like, yo, I don't care what you have to tell people, just get the forces out on Kleya. They eventually like sees an escape patient with a deadly disease. But after that, it's so interesting because both of them are looking at each other like, yo, we messed up big time. We are in trouble because, again, potentially the plans for the Death Star are now out in the wild for the rebellion. This thing that has been building for years.
In secret.
6 years?
At the very least.
So with that, Partagas is like, yo, you should have finished this by now. Like, we could only keep it a secret for so long. And again, at this time, since it is a year before the events of Rogue One, it's like almost time to like, it's like halfway built. Well, not halfway. It's like almost done. And it's like, hey, we got to finish this. We have everything we need. But, you know, it's delayed. And then Krennic at the same time is like, yo, you better catch her or we're done for. So one little tidbit just as he leaves is that he's getting summoned to Scarif. As we know, that's where the end of Rogue One takes place, where boom, boom time occurs. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and then we get the ISB agents. They track that SOS signal right to her location. Of course, Cassian and crew, they arrive to the location. They going up, they get to her, but then unfortunately, like, Kleya, like, she lets him know, like, hey, Luthen's dead, like, I'm not going anywhere, just here's all the information, make sure you're the one who deliver it, leave me behind. And he's like, nah, you coming with me, sis, you coming with And then it ends on a cliffhanger like that because the ISB are rapidly approaching. There's no, oh yeah, they jammed comms, so K2SO can't, like, hear them. Or he can't, like, let them know, like, ISB coming. Mm. And they just in the midst of arguing at the end of the episode before episode 12, the finale happens.
It's really interesting with, I think, because they were doing time jumps, and something that we talked about is something that I would have wished could have got explored a little bit more is Luthen's relationship to Yavin. So we know, obviously, with Mon Mothma, he took out her best friend. She knew he was moving recklessly, like, sometimes, and then even, like, when he saved her, it's like, yo, if I don't save you, I'm gonna take you out. It's, like, one option or the other. But how the other leaders were, like, so, like, they held so much enmity towards Luthen because, the like, it gets covered more in episode 12, but which we can talk about. But even why Clea doesn't want to go to Yavin is because she knows they don't like Luthen. And since he is, like, the most loyal spy to Luthen, that's not really the place for her. So that she feels like there's no home for her. So there's only nothing with Luthen also being gone, her surrogate dad and purpose for living. She has no purpose to live other than to deliver the message to Cass, which is Luthen's last directive to her.
Yep. Yeah. And yeah, so, like, she's very much on, like, a, yeah, I'm going to give you this information, then I'm just go be with Luthen, you know, and wherever he ends up.
In the place beyond time or place beyond worlds, whatever it's doing.
Nah, he ain't going there. He ain't going there. He ain't got the force in him. He ain't like that. So what ends up happening is that, like, in this episode, like in episode 12, you know, they're, again, they're still bickering, you know, and everything. But, like, Cassian, he basically just strongly, like, nah, you getting out of here. And then, of course, the stormtroopers, they close in on their location, throw a flash bomb. And I thought Clea was gone, like, right then and there. I'm like, oh, nah, because she's out cold. But she's out cold. They about to get taken out, and then the true goat of this episode, yes, K2SO, coming in with the utter swiftness, with that ruthless efficiency a droid can do, because good heavens, I haven't seen this kind of murder since HK-47.
But here's the thing, that's really interesting. If you notice, the sounds of the bodies hitting the walls when KS2O threw them compared to in the Gorman episode is much, like, less brutal than the Gorman episode. Because, like, with the Gorman episode, it was, like, splats, broken yep. bonds. With this, it was more of thud. So.
Yeah, except for what happened to old Hart.
that's yeah.
Nah, he got, like, three rounds in the chest for that one. So, yeah, he got taken out. Yeah, in K2, he's like, oh, yeah, hey, I came to rescue y'all. Well, let's get out of here. And they made it. You know, they make it to the ship. They blast off, you know, get back to Yavin. And then, of course, that's when they get arrested. Of course, Bail, Mon Mothma, and the entire council, they having talks about, like, Luthen and what, and just, like, how the rebellion's going. And then, of course, like,
also the Saw Gerrera part.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Saw Gerrera, he's on Jeddah right now. But, like, he's not confirming he's on Jeddah, but we know he's on Jeddah. But, like, basically, he's like, hey, listen, for a rebellion, we got to get down and dirty. That's something y'all senators ain't going to understand. So, and I know y'all my ops. So, peace. Which yeah, is crazy because you've seen, like, again, these different cells of the rebellion still not working together.
And it's interesting that, like, he said it with the senators, and it kind of ties into this later part where it's like, Bail and Mon Mothma are, again, senators, politicians. Luthen, he was a soldier, spy, you know, kind of like tying things up. Saw Gerrera, he's just a guerrilla. With that, like,
he was a soldier,
agent of, and turned to agent of chaos because of, you know, breathing and that crazy gas. So, and then other homegirl, but you see, just like a lot of them are like being thrust into this position. So when Cass is like, hey, and again, it's forming, they're starting to have their rules and stuff. And so when Cass is, like, relaying the information, you know, Organa's like, hey, We know how you felt about Luthen. We need an objective opinion. Luthen was paranoid. I don't know if we can trust this. Just like throwing dirt on his name. I was like, geez, let him cool off a little bit.
I let him rest. God,
I know.
And of course, Cassian, like, he doing his best to, it's like, hey, listen here, you bunch of hooligans. Like, listen, Luthen, he's the type of person to where he will get you that information. He probably more for the cause than y'all are.
Exactly. And
he more for the cause than y'all are. And that's why I trust him. I trust this information because he died for it.
Mm-hmm.
He died for it. So y'all better take, you better believe me. So yeah, and then they decide to, yeah, nah, you grounded for a while. literally.
Which gets to my favorite quote that I always say, mostly with Star Wars, it's where it's the enemy of progress is bureaucracy. And they are like, hey, because there were two other leaders that were out and Organa was like, hey, let's wait for them to come back to have a meeting about the meeting that we just had to make a decision. When it's like, no, there's the super weapon. We need to get active right now. And it's the same problem that the Jedi had, where it's just like, what are we doing here? It's like, there's a threat right now. We have to move. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then we cut to Partagas.
Ooh. So, that was a good scene.
Yeah. So, Partagas, you know, he listening to a sermon. Oh, sorry, my bad. He listening to a podcast. Oh, sorry, my bad. He listening to a broadcast. And essentially, like, he's approached by his pals, like, hey, yeah, you know, the, like, what you think about this line? Yeah, no, the Emperor wants to see you, big dog. Yeah, you got to come with me. And then he says, hey, can I get a moment to collect my thoughts? And the old guy, he knew what was up. So, like, he stepped outside and then he told the stormtroopers, just wait a moment. And then you just hear the blaster shot in the background. Yep, Partagas and killed himself for, you know, for his failings and for, like, how he basically ran the ISB and then also Daedra's in jail for her failure.
Back on the raft. It's not a raft, but, like, the kind of the float area where we see in season one.
Yo, but I thought that was hilarious, too.
That was funny. That was incredible storytelling. So, going back to Yavin, essentially, everyone is trying to convince Organa that, hey, there's a lot of mysterious stuff going on. We can't ground our best pilot right now. Also, there was one of the contacts was spying on Saw Gerrera, or at least keeping tabs on him. And he kept, like, talking about something with Jedha. So that's where the other, like, head rebellion dude was like, yeah, this is kind of weird, Cass. I'm going to go holler at him real quick because we gotta follow up on this. It's like if it's a setup, it's the greatest setup ever. But clearly there's like a conspiracy going on with this. So him and both Mon Mothma go and talk to Organa to kind of convince him, hey, we need to act on this right now. And then we also have, you know, Clea coming to terms with everything and then also Vale getting into the mix.
Yeah, because Mon Mothma said, hey, go talk with Cassian because, like, he told me this stuff. And just tell me if I can believe him. So basically, like, Vale's, like, talking with Cassian. It's like, yeah, what did Luthen tell you? It's like, she basically spilling, like, the entire tea. And Cassian, like, he just basically spills everything to her. And, like, she's also saying, like, hey, go reconnect with Bix. Like, you, like, I heard she's doing well. He's like, nah, one thing I learned is, like, hey, yeah, in my line of work, in my life right now, she's much better off without me. It's for her safety. And which is, again, another death flag, you know. It's like, yeah, then maybe I'll find her. But yeah, so, of course, like, that's when, like, Vale leaves, but then she spots Clea, like, walking in the rain, like, by herself. Like, she's like, oh, nah, come with me. And they're basically, like, talking a bit, just like how, you know, like, hey, this is how everything going. And then that's when Cassian and K2SO, they get their mission to go to Nathema, setting up literally the mission that happens on Rogue One. And then it cuts to, like, basically, like, hey, what happened to everybody, all the other characters? You got Mon Mothma's scum husband who's out here, got himself another woman.
Apparently, that was the wife of the dude she got the funding from. And because he was connected or something like that, the two of them, I think it got cut from the scene, but is what I saw is that the two of them were bonding over both of their spouses being now criminals of the rebellion.
Ew. Ooh, that's tough. That's tough.
To kind of soften it. It's not pure scumbaggery, if that helps.
I mean, it still kind of is, because there ain't no divorce proceedings in the galaxy.
She can't come back, so I mean,
and
I'm not condoning this. I'm just giving context.
Listen, stay loyal to your criminals, baby. nah, I'm kidding. But yeah, and then as we said, we got Daedra, who's in prison. She out here crying her heart out as it's lights out. I'm like, <Yes. laughs> get what you deserve. And then finally, we're back on Mino Rao, where we see Bix with the child.
Why they have to do that to us, man? Because if you watch Rogue One, you already know what happens. And then like that, they just drop a child. It's just like, come on.
Yep. And you all know that it's Cassian's baby, because the kid's like a year old. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah. Yeah, you know it's his. They even confirmed that it was his, like, on Twitter.
Oh my gosh, that was tough, because you're like, yo, he never knew he had a kid.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's even worse, because she leaves him while pregnant, so he never knows that he's actually a father, and she deliberately hid that from him because she probably knew she was pregnant in that moment.
I was gonna ask you that. Yeah,
she probably knew she was pregnant, but she chose to like leave him because of just how important he is to the rebellion, and it adds like more wound to that scene in the last batch of episodes.
Yeah, that was tough. So anything else with the big before we get into the other questions?
Ooh, oh man, just fantastic season. Fantastic.
So who would you say is like the MVP of the show?
Of the entire show?
Well, if it's the entire show, it's got to be Cassian, but let's say season two.
Season two, man, I'd probably say Luthen, from how he been moving this entire season, like just all of the plays that he had laid throughout the entire season, got all the people to the right places, got all the information right, and again sacrificed himself for the cause and was able to get himself get them the information that they need in order to eventually win. I'd mm-hmm. say it's more likely Luthen than anything else.
Now that you say that, probably Luthen, but I gotta give love to Clea, because yeah. Clea came in clutch multiple times this season. So with that, like getting Cass back on the horse, like long time, like when he came back from Gorman, that was one thing. Getting the recording device out of the work of art, like literally bleeding while she has Imperial, like Krennic and the other head people of the ISB, just like right down her neck. And then even just like controlling Lonnie. And then even in these final three episodes of, hey, taking the information that Luthen gave her, taking out Luthen as that loose end, as hard as that had to be for her, then relaying that information to Cass and being just like kind of creative enough to do that. So without her kind of connecting those pieces, Cass and them don't get the information about the Death Star, which leads again into Rogue One. So got to give love to Clea for that.
Yep, 100%.
Obviously, it has to be the Empire.
Boy, the Empire, do they ever get it?
Okay,
but who specifically from the Empire probably gets it the worst this season?
Okay, I feel like you felt partial empathy for Partagaz as the season progressed. For Daedra, you learn that she was a pawn, essentially, throughout it. So she wasn't, like, the head thing. So I'm going to give it to Krennic, because the Death Star is his, like, baby and, like, brainchild. And then when he came in, you could clearly see he's the head dude in charge. Even with, like, episode one, where he's, like, getting the information about Gorman, where it's like, yo, we might have to blow up this planet if we want to mine this mineral. And it's like, okay, bet, we go mine this planet.
Yeah, and also another thing about Kren, like again, we start seeing like shades of these characters, you know, like with Daedra and with Partgas and whatnot. But as soon as Krennic hits the picture, you felt his aura.
Yes.
You felt his aura as soon as he speaks his first line, which goes fantastically with Ben Mendelsohn and how he portrayed the character. But yeah, you could tell like he had the power and everything. So like he definitely. Yeah, he definitely is probably like the big op of this season. Though Daedra is probably like a close number two because
She's up there.
she did the most, the
She
absolute
ran
most.
the Gorman operation, so even if like she didn't want it originally and that it was ultimately Krennic directing things, she did run the Gorman operation.
Yep.
All right. So with that, with when we've reached the finales of seasons, we like to ask the question, hit or miss. I think this is so obviously a hit for both of us that we don't even have to continue it.
Keep it moving.
So, I mean, just touching on it, what do you think was so amazing about the show? Why people connected with it?
I think it gives like a much more, like it's one of those shows that gives a much more realistic and like more grounded feel to the Star Wars verse. Like as you can tell, like there's a little to no Jedi at all. Like there's maybe like there was like only that Force healer at all, and then of course like in Rogue One you
Made
get our boy,
the
and then we
forces.
got Big Daddy Vader. But with that, right? Like again, it's very grounded. It literally tells you like, hey, these are like how rebellions. Well, it gives you a picture of like how rebellions would form and like why they would form in the first place, under like a completely like fascist empire regime. So yeah, it's definitely like grounded. Like you feel for the characters, like, and also it kind of helps. Like again, we know what's gonna happen to some of the players in the end. So now it's kind of like, so like while it does like protect, you know, like Andor from and like Mon Mothma's, like okay, we know exactly what's gonna happen to them. The others, on the other hand, because we don't see them, like for Luthen and Clea, it. And like Daedra and whatnot, it makes you kind of tense up a bit. It's like, what's gonna happen to them?
Yes, and like to that point, even though Andor and Mon Mothma, we both know survive, that didn't stop them from having moments of peril or a lot of stress in the show. Like the mission with the eye, I forgot the name of that planet that they were on, where they had to like steal and like infiltrate it as like agents where we first meet Vel.
Oh, yeah. I
So
remember that.
that one, I mean, obviously the prison episode, those two episodes were incredible. Season two, and even Mon Mothma's story, where, you know, it's easy to be caught up in the politician part and be like, oh, I don't care about it. But how she was moving, how important she was to the rebellion, starting with just like the financing and behind that, and how those two tied in with Luthen were incredible. So, man, I love it. But the thing is, it's interesting where they ended it after two seasons. Do you think if they would have pushed like season three, season four, kind of does it start becoming too much? Because like with The Mandalorian, the first two seasons, people loved it. Then, you know, they tied it into Book of Boba Fett, and then they had season three where people started feeling differently about the show. Because they were just doing a lot, and now you have to connect a lot of stuff. You have cloning, which potentially ties into the sequels, Ahsoka, Luke, the Jedi Temple, which that directly ties into the sequels, and then also a little bit of Thrawn, kind of with it,
Yeah,
and
with
then
the Ahsoka show.
ultimately it's going to have the movie where it's like you start doing too much. Where with Andor in season two, as they went through these four chapters for a year apart, a part of me is like, hey, I would love if they would have, you know, quote unquote, stretched it out, had like what was happening in between those years and stuff like that, like what other missions were there. But at the same time, it's like now maybe you're doing too much and introducing too much.
Yeah, that's always like kind of like a delicate balance to trying to have. Like in filming in general, you don't want to overstay your welcome, if you will. So So, like, yeah, as you mentioned, like, hey, it's like more law of diminishing returns. Like, if you keep like rehashing the same things over and over, people are not going to be too interested in it. But I like how, again, they do give like those 1 year gaps so that if people spark like enough of an interest in it, they can potentially go and detail like those what happens in those one in that 1 year time frame. Maybe it follows like a different set of characters. Maybe it or like maybe it ties in with like another angle of it. Either way, you got like pretty much a good deal into like what's happening with those like what happens in those series.
All right, that's a good point. So with that, since there is no like next week predictions to do, also the series is over, we know how Andor's story ends in Rogue One, I kind of want to combine the big question of the week with the big picture view, and this is more of a Disney Star Wars project overall type situation, but what do you think outside of what's already been announced are they going to create in a live action sense? So it's like the movie is Starfinder, is that what it's called?
Starfighter.
Okay, yeah, that's what it is. So who knows what that'll touch on. The fact that it has Star in it is interesting, but I don't think they'll do it. We know we're going to get a Mando and Grogu movie. We also know we're getting season 2 of Ahsoka. What else do you think they might touch on?
So I don't know how true or how accurate this is, but I saw something about like, oh yeah, they're going to be potentially diving into like to another horror movie-esque, like a horror-esque series or movie. I'm like, I'm here for it. Also, again, Acolyte season 2. I think
they said that ain't happening.
Nah, cause I at least just want to know, like, hey, there's some stories to be told there, all right?
They just bungled it.
Yeah, there are stories to be told there, but that's at least what I want. But yeah, I heard like there is a Star Wars horror film that's apparently in the works. I'm like, give me that. Let me see. I don't know. What else?
Do you think they might have take it? I mean, they've gone from a lot of different perspectives, but do you think they would do something where it's like, hey, I haven't watched Rebels, so this kind of relates to my question, but like say a Thrawn backstory or something like that? Because I don't see too many stories where it's directly from the perspective of the Sith. I know they tried to do it with the Acolyte, and we know how that fizzled out. But, I mean, outside of the games and one of the greatest twists of all time, we don't really see it that much.
Yeah, that is very true. That is very true. We don't really get to see too much of the dark side. But when it comes to, like, your earlier question about Thrawn and whatnot, I mean, they wrote books about it. But again, that hasn't stopped them before, because basically, if you remember, like Tales of the Jedi kind of like semi takes the place of the Ahsoka novel. And also the last season of the Clone Wars basically was part of the Ahsoka novel, too. So it's not outside of their scope to like, hey, we have this work like in written form or even comic book form, and we can just straight up adapt it. Changes here or there. So hey, could there be a Thrawn series? Absolutely. Could there be a could he like do something else like in Ahsoka season 2? Absolutely too.
It's interesting because I know they did at one point, like initially when the Solo story came out, we're talking about a Lando Calrissian either movie or TV show, but I don't know at this point. So any big questions, final big questions you have or big picture thoughts?
I mean, for me, right, like at this moment in time, like seeing like the state of the galaxy, here's like my, actually I have two. So first one deals with basically the present of the Star Wars verse, like, and when I say present, I mean after Return of the Jedi, during Mandalorian times, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, like, hey, is there going to be like any more like tie-ins to stuff from like Rogue One and in Andor? Like, what's up with the child of Cassian, huh? Like, is the child going to, like, have a major appearance, or is it just going to be like, oh, yeah, nah, here's your hope spot, and we're going to end it right there? Also, post sequels, what all from the New Republic era remains? So, like, what happens with Grogu? What happens with our boy Din? What happens with Ahsoka? What, well, actually, I probably know what happens to Ahsoka. Ooh, or what happens with Sabine? Like, what happens with all, like, the younger characters that you introduce, like, in this new era? And how are they going to, like, play a part in this new trilogy? Or, like, this apparent new trilogy of movies with Rey Palpatine?
Okay. Something that I just thought of before, the one that I'm hype about, but I know won't happen. But with the sequels, we see that, well, not even the sequels, I guess the prequels, episodes 4 through 5, it's so tricky with it. Episodes 4 through 5, a lot of the storylines that we've seen that have spun off of that, a Clone Wars, the Rebels, even Andor, like the rise of the Empire, the fall from, you know, post Clone Wars into the rise of Palpatine and stuff like that. Do you think that they would be tempted to kind of have a series where it's like the rise of the First Order, in a sense, even though it wasn't popular at the time? You know how we mentioned the prequels initially weren't popular, but then over time they became like, oh, this is like the standard of Star Wars, like we love it so much and stuff like that. So I wonder if they would ever dive into that.
Well, hey, Star Wars prints money, so probably.
Because you could do the Luke's Temple, the rise of young Kylo Ren, the other Jedi at that time. Did they get a, you know, Order 66 Part 2 and different things like that?
I mean, well, again, like, they actually kind of touched upon at least the Luke side of things in the comics, in like a Ben Solo comic. But like when it comes to like Rise of the First Order, I think that was also touched in the same comic book, but I'm not too sure because I haven't read it. And then also you can kind of like start seeing the seeds of it planted throughout like Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett, and all that. So you kind of already starting to see the rise of the First Order in that. But I think like what you're saying, like, oh yeah, what's like a more explicit Revenge of the Sith-esque Rise of the Empire.
Yeah.
I think something like that is probably going to be more of a small screen type.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, even if they spun off to a Rebels type, you know, animated show where it's like that time period between the end of episode 6 into episode 7, in a sense. But something I would be hype about, if they made a Mace Windu series and they had like Damson Idris as the main dude, so the dude that played Franklin Saint, that would be fire, but they're not doing that.
They're not doing that. And also, I would say, hey, give Sam Witwer, come on, man. He right there. Stark. Come on, just bring him into the fold. You know you can do it.
Oh, they are doing that. You told me they mentioned that they were doing the gosh, he does the voice of the character, Darth Maul series.
Yeah, there's a Maul series, but I'm saying
Star Killer
into this mug. I don't care how you gonna make it work in the canon. His story is too perfect. He works way too well. Also, where's our Old Republic content? Yeah, I'm talking about it. Where's my Old Republic content?
It's non-canon.
No. Where's my Knights of the Old Republic remake, huh? What happened to that Aspire? Yeah, y'all thought y'all could sweep that under the rug. Nah, not with me, bucko.
All right, so we can wrap up there. But this was our review of Andor. Again, an incredible show, something that we both said hit. If we did tiers, I think we would both give it S tier. So definitely check out Andor if you somehow got to the end of this review and you haven't watched any season of Andor. I don't know how that happened, but we're going to get into next our What's Hot. So that's what's hot in anime, movies, TV shows, gaming, comics, books, or whatever. So this might be a brief one, but Meech, what you got?
I mean, yeah, I said very brief. Like Go Go Loser Ranger, Dragon Ball Daima actually finished the dub. And in case you didn't know, Sean Schimmel actually passed out 3 or 4 times in the booth. So,
wow.
So, yes. So, we might be back, baby. We also got, One Piece is out here doing
letting out demons.
You don't even know. You don't even know the half, baby. Y'all ain't ready. Y'all ain't ready. That's all I'm saying. Y'all ain't ready. We got Vigilantes. Y'all ain't ready. Y'all ain't ready for Vigilantes either.
We also have in the realm of movies, Final Destination Bloodlines then released, and we both saw it, and let's just say new trauma, old trauma, new fears have been acquired.
There's one part, I'm not going to say what it is, but where they teased what happened at the end, and I didn't think they were going to do what they were at the end, because the one that they did before that was a callback to one of the earlier movies. So when it ended the way it did, I was like, come on.
Yeah, yeah, no, they knew what they was doing. They knew what they was doing.
Okay.
But all I have to say is we ain't picking up any pennies.
Nah.
Also, you know, we got the Predator Badlands. Yeah, that's going to drop. We also have Fantastic Four, Superman. Those better hit. Otherwise, superheroes might be cooked. Yeah, you got Avengers Doomsday that's coming out like later next year. In theory, it's next year. Which also, speaking of next year, GTA 6, May 26th. So yeah, y'all can wait one more year. Y'all be fine. For me, I've been waiting so long, I almost forget. So I'm good. Also, Dragon Ball Daima, the DLC for not only Sparking Zero, but also Xenoverse 2.
Ooh, interesting.
Slowly start dropping, as well as on DBZ Kakarot, too. So, wow. So yeah, we getting multi-generational Daima content. So I'm here for it. I'm here for it. But, yeah, and then, as I say, like, other than that, what you got?
Okay, quick question. With the comics, what the heck is going on with Peter?
Okay. Here we go. All right, here's what's wrong with Peter. The writers. The writers be doing him dirty. Doing him the extra dirty. Unless it's an alternate universe. Ultimate universe, Peter. New Ultimate Universe, Peter Parker, you the GOAT. I take no prisoners on that. But as far as mainline Peter, looks like he about to fight. He fighting Ares. I don't know, because that's the only way I can explain. Like, he has to be fighting the God of War, because ain't no way. He has to be fighting the God of War, not named Kratos, because why'd they continue to do this man this dirty? And then making MJ Venom is not, it doesn't help.
Is the mainline one the one where he has the weird new, I don't even want to call it a romance thing, but the person that's interested in him that shouldn't be interested in him?
Yes. Oh, yeah. And also, Yeah, and in case
what's going on?
Itsy bitsy. Yep, that's all I'm gonna say. Itsy bitsy. If you know, you know. But also, all I'm saying is, absolute Batman, absolute Bruce. I'm gonna need you to get out of Gotham ASAP, because I absolute Bane. No. They release new concept image of this version of Bane, and how you make a brick look like a pebble.
Oh my gosh.
That's all I gotta say. How you make a brick look like a pebble.
All right. So just to quickly wrap up, you basically covered everything, but Dan Dedan dropped a new trailer. So that's releasing early July. Yes. So release a new trailer for season 2. I believe Sakamoto Days comes back in June. I don't know why they took this weird mid-season break when they did. I've seen some interesting stuff for Netflix. I don't recall what To Doom stands for, but it's like on May 31st they're gonna drop a lot of trailers related to new seasons of shows that are coming out, and then also I believe Squid Game is early June, and then for the final one, Ironheart dropped its first trailer finally. I think that also comes out in either June or July, so we'll see how that goes from there. So with that, we're gonna get into our plugs and get up out of here.
All right, so for our Instagram, X formerly known as Twitter and Threads, we're on a BlurredCU22. Like, comment, subscribe, stay up to date on notifications. We also have our Discord linked in the Instagram page. For YouTube and Patreon, Blurred City Pod. If you want to donate some extra cheddar, you get access to very exclusive content never before seen. We also have our email address, blurredcity22@gmail.com. If you want to send episode suggestions, if you want to send your thoughts on Andor, questions for us, go ahead, send it all in there, except for hate mail, because that gets into the spam box, never to see the light of day. Finally, I am the Jedi Born on Mustafar on Instagram and TikTok. However long we got those left, what you got?
All right, for my Instagram, That is Mitri underscore dash. That is Mitri underscore dash from my ex last Twitter. That is at the mad dash 16. And if you're interested in my book, Phantom Reckoning, that is available on Amazon, Kindle, and Barnes and Noble. For next week, as we mentioned, we're going to be pushing back our Uchiha character study 2 weeks from now. And then next week, we're going to do the finale recap of Last of Us Season 2. So with that, we are going to leave you with some words of encouragement.
All I'm saying is, for me, it is hope can truly never die. If as long as it never dies, you always have something to fight for. So keep on going, keep persevering.
Perfectly said. So it's not goodbye forever, it's just goodbye for now. And that's the Bird City Podcast.
See ya later.